And if you have a copy of this introduction book, take it out, turn to page 30. If you do not have a copy of this book, we should have some extra copies out in the back and so on. So the men are going to come in. And if you need a copy of this book called An Introduction to Buffalo Ridge Baptist Church, as the men come on ahead, men. And if you need a copy, you just raise your hand when they come back up the aisle and they'll be happy to give you a copy of it. An Introduction to Buffalo Ridge Baptist Church. We're turning to page number 30. I mean, you can go on up the aisle there. If you need a copy of one, just flag them down, tackle them, whatever you need to do there, all right? Page number 30 you're going to. And we'll pray together and ask God to bless tonight and as we travel through this book together. Father, we love you, and I pray that you'll help us to be faithful to you. Would you touch and bless in this hour? Would you speak to our hearts? And would you help me, Lord, to get across the burden you've laid on my heart in this book? Help this church to see it, to sense it, to understand it. And Lord, I pray that you help these precious people to be on board, to go forward for the cause of Jesus Christ. In Jesus' name, amen. Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse number 9. The Bible says, for we are laborers together with God. We are laborers together with God. I like that phrase. That's the phrase that we've adopted as the theme of our ministries here at Buffalo Ridge Baptist Church. We're plowing through this book, the M's and all of this. And we've looked at our meaning, our message, all of these kind of things, our motto. And we turn our attention tonight to our ministries. Now, these ministries that are listed for you in this booklet here are also listed for you out in the lobby. It's the lobby wall. It's our ministry wall where it has this phrase, laborers together with God, above it. It's on my right, your left out here. Unless you're on this side, it's on your right as well, okay? Right out here as you go out. And on the side, in other words, you'll see everything that's mentioned there for you. And then on the side, you'll notice that there are 10 major ministries. On that wall, there are bigger little plaques, and then there's smaller plaques underneath. The bigger plaques are the ministries. There's 10 of them. And underneath these ministries, there are several things to get involved in. In other words, different things to do within that ministry. But there's 10 sheets on the side for you to take home, and you can look at it. Now, it's not anything in depth. It's just a sheet that just mentions this and what that does, this and what that does. And it's made in such a way that if you have an interest in any of these ministries after you pray about it, at the bottom of these sheets, the sheets look like this, at the bottom of these sheets, it says if you're interested in learning more about this ministry, please contact me, the pastor, and then by coming to me, I'll be able to send you to that person, or I'll be able to tell you about the ministry myself and all these kind of things. Let me say this to you. I know in a church of any size, it makes no difference if there's 10 people or whether there's 10,000 people, there are people who will come to the church service and not do anything else. Let me say this to you. If that's you, we're glad you're here. That's the truth. We'd rather you come here than anywhere else, you know what I mean? But let me say this to you. There's no doubt that God did not save his children to do nothing. There's no doubt about that. So what God has laid on the heart of your pastor, now this is a work in progress. For instance, our Sunday school ministry, I'm getting ahead of myself here a little bit, but our Sunday school ministry right now, God is showing me things that putting it into place and all these kind of things, and God touches it, it will absolutely revolutionize this church. It will take this church to the next level. God has used the ministry of this church, the ministry of Dr. Gene Lashley, my Moses, and so on, to have great growth and all these kind of things. And now it's interesting that God is not changing anything. He's adding to it. I like it how he does that. In other words, the foundation's already in place. Thank you, sir, for that. I appreciate it. And we're going to be building on this and so on. Which means that these ministries are not stagnant. More than likely, there's going to be more and more things to get involved in, is what I'm trying to say. And let me say this to you. It is God's will that God's children do something for their God. Something. Something. Now, not everybody can do the same thing, and God's not made it that way. And the Lord has put on us a vision to relay to you, to show you that there's a place for you at Buffalo Ridge Baptist Church. There is something for you to do to help us reach people for the cause of Jesus Christ. To help us fulfill this motto, a heart for God, a home for you, a hope for all. Every one of those ministries fall under this motto. And we need to see that God wants us to work. Now the Word of God says here in this verse that we are laborers together with God. Now, we've adopted this as our theme for our ministries. Notice, we're not working independently of one another. We are working together with God as a church family to bring people to Jesus Christ, to train them in the Word of God, and then send them out to do the same thing. Now, let me talk to you just a little while here. This may be as far as we get tonight, but let me talk to you a little while here about these 10 ministries. Now, you'll notice they're listed for you here. There's a teen ministry. There's a children's ministry. There's a music ministry. There's a discipleship ministry. There's a mission ministry, a Sunday school ministry, a bus ministry, a visitation ministry, a service ministry, and a target ministry. Now, this vision, if you will, that the Lord laid on my heart began when I preached through the book of Nehemiah. When I preached through that book here, this is one of the opening days, I think, when I first took the church as pastor. I believe that may have been one of the first series I did. I can't remember all that. Don't ask me if I'm telling, because I don't remember it, okay? But it was several years ago, and the whole emphasis of the book of Nehemiah is the wall was torn down, and Nehemiah got a burden from God. He saw it. He saw what God wanted. He challenged the people, and each one of them started on their section of the wall. They were working together. When we preached through that book, it said he built after him, or right after him, or beside him. In other words, every person had their own section of the wall. They were working together as a group, and what laid in ruins for years took only 52 days to erect. When everybody saw their part of the wall and they did their part and they worked together, they were not jealous of each other. He worked beside him, he worked beside him, he worked beside him. And when everybody was working together for the glory of God, God rebuilt the wall through them. This is where the ministry wall was birthed. It's the ministry wall. This is where I can say to you, find your section of the wall. Get your section. What is your section? Is it the teen section? Is it the music section? Is it the children's section? Is it the discipleship section? Is it the ministry? I'm talking about the mission section, or the Sunday school, or the bus ministry, or the visitation, or the service, or the target ministry. Find your section. Now get this. If you find it and don't do it, that is a part of the wall that is not being fixed. And it's either going to take longer to get it done, or it won't get done at all. Does that make sense what I just said? If there's sections of the wall, common sense tells you, if I took some garbage today and threw it this way and threw it this way and threw it that way and threw it this way and I gave everybody an assignment to pick up one piece and bring it and put it right here. If everybody did it but one person did not, somebody's going to have to do double work. You got it? Does that make sense what I'm saying to you? God has a plan for your life. And it is not separate from the local church. Amen. God works through the local church. Somebody says, well, God wants me to have a camping ministry. I'm my own pastor, I'm my own deacons, I'm my own secretary and everything else. Of course, he's got a split personality, has to, you know what I mean? God's not in that. God works through the local church. And if God desires for you to be here, then there's something on that wall He wants you to do. It's just that simple. Now, let's look at these ministries and just show you some things here. Now, what I'm working off of today are these sheets that are hanging beside these ministries. These sheets are for you to take tonight and so on. Take home and look at them. The teen ministry. By the way, God help us to see that we need to reach teenagers for the cause of Jesus Christ. Now, I'll tell you something. I love all kinds of people, all types of people, but I love preaching to teenagers. I love preaching to them. They like it straight. Now, I believe some adults do too, but some adults get their feelings hurt a little bit. You know what I mean? All these kind of, I'm kidding though. Well, actually, I'm not kidding. But anyway, you know what I'm saying. There's nothing like teen camp. I mean, you just let it down, let it fly, and I mean, they flood the altar. Let me tell you something about teenagers. They like to be challenged. They need to be challenged. And some of them get the impression that we don't need them. Can I say something to the teenagers? If you're a teenager, would you stand just a moment, please? All teenagers, just stand up just a moment. Upstairs, downstairs. Look at all these good teenagers here. I didn't say good looking. I said good teenagers. See these teenagers? I want you to look right up here at me, teens. We love you. We care about you. We need you. And God wants to use you. Amen? Thank you. You may be seated. You know what we need, Brother Bob? Let me ask you a question. You have all the workers you need, and if somebody else came, you'd say, I don't have anything for you to do. In a perfect world, right? Some of you all have a burden for teenagers, but you're doing nothing with them. So I didn't know we could do anything. I'm telling you, go see Brother Bob. I've got a slight feeling he's got something to get you involved. Teen ministry. Teenagers can be a mighty force for the glory of God. A mighty force. And if you're working with them, God bless you. Take the sheet, see some different things that you can get involved in. This is outside of Sunday school here. I'm talking about Truth Bible Study, the Enlist program on Wednesday nights during the summer months. Activities, teen camp, you name it. You go see Brother Bob. He'll put you to work. Amen. What about the children's ministry? Let me say this to you. A majority of people, I think I heard this, that I believe it's somewhere around 75%, if not more than that, of born-again children of God are saved as a child. A child. I was saved as a child. How many of you all were saved as a child? Would you raise your hand? Look at that. Look around just a minute. As a child, right? Now that's a testament and a testimony to your parents and to my parents. Now, if a majority of people are saved in childhood years, should that ministry not be at least priority here at Buffalo Ridge Baptist Church? Absolutely. Absolutely. There's a lot of things going on just with the children's ministry. The children's ministry. You know, when you think of D.L. Moody, what a mighty man of God he was. And D.L. Moody, who saw a million people walk the sawdust trail under his ministry. Can you imagine? A million people saved under his preaching. And here's what D.L. Moody said. I'm paraphrasing. If I had a life to give again, I'd give it all to children. That's what he said. This is a man who saw a million people saved. And if he said I had to do it all over again, I'd devote my whole life, my whole ministry to kids. Kids are precious, friends. They're precious little things. I'm telling you. Even my children. A majority of the time. And let me say this to you. God desires for children to be trained in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. He desires for children to be raised right. He desires for children to be aimed right, all these kind of things. You know, the Bible calls children arrows. God's arrows that He gives to parents God's burdening me with a message thought. I've not put it together yet. When you think about an arrow, what do you think of? Something that must be aimed. Something that must be let go. Amen. And something that's shooting at a specific bullseye. You know what I pray? I try to pray this every day of my life. God, thank you for the arrows that you've given me and my wife. Help us to aim right. Help us to let go at the right time, and may they hit the bullseye of your choosing. That'd be a good prayer for you to pray if you have kids in your home. You know what some parents do? They aim, but they never let go. Hard to let go, you know? I'm telling you, children are precious to the Lord. In the New Testament, when they were bringing kids to him and the disciples thought the Lord was too busy for them, remember what he said? He said, it displeased the Lord. He said, suffer the little children to come unto me and forbid them not. For if such is the kingdom of God, the Lord wants little children to come and be with him. By the way, it tells you a little bit about the Lord when he was on earth. You know, children don't want to just be with just anybody. Some people scare them. Let's be honest. Like Micah, you probably scare children. No, I'm just kidding with you, all right? Children are drawn to love, acceptance, and all these kind of things. These children in the New Testament were trying to get to Jesus so much that the disciples tried to stop them. No. What's that tell you about the Lord? They wanted to be with him. Isn't that tender? That's precious, isn't it? And we see children's ministry. Let me just give you some things that we have going on for children. Again, Sunday school is a separate ministry here, okay? So obviously we've got Sunday school for kids, all right? I'm getting to the Sunday school ministry here momentarily. We have preschool church. By the way, thank the Lord for those who are on the rotation to help during preschool church. We have like a monthly rotation that while I'm preaching in here, the preschoolers, I'm talking about the twos, threes, fours, and fives, that's preschool. There are people going in there to relieve the Sunday school workers during the morning, I'm talking about the morning worship hour, and they're having a service for the 2 and 3 year olds, they're having a service for the 4 year olds, they're having a service for the 5 year olds. And let me say this to you, that's just as much church there as it is in here. What a ministry. What a ministry. God is pleased with this. We have primary church. That's first and second graders. During the 11 o'clock hour. 10 o'clock Sunday school. I'll talk about that in a minute. We're talking about during the 11 o'clock hour, preschool church, primary church, that's first and second graders. We have junior church. That's third through sixth grade. They meet in the chapel. Primary's upstairs, far right. All of these places are places that you can get involved in, at least on a rotation. Once a month. Once every other month, to go in there and have a ministry with children. What about Cadets for Christ? Wednesday night, our children's program. We've written it here. We've developed it here. We've put it together here. And on Wednesday nights during the school year, right now, on Wednesday nights starting at 6:30, we have Cadets for Christ and Cub Cadets for Christ going on during the preaching service here, and the kids are out having the time of their life. My own children. They can't wait for cadets to come. Now listen, that hurts my feeling. I'm just kidding with you there. Here's what I'm saying to you. It's hard to ask a child, I'm talking about a child, to come in church Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night, and listen to me. That's hard. It's hard for adults to do that. Don't say amen, okay? But these are programs that we have. Now, this Cadets for Christ has been used of God. We've got it to the point now that we're able, if other churches want it, we've not really promoted it this way yet, but if other churches want it, we're going to be able to give it to other churches, get it out to other churches, let other churches use the program. It's basically a 9-month program. You know, I was looking for a name for the small ones. You know, in Awanas and so on, they have God's Little Lamb. So I didn't want to put them all just under Cadets for Christ, 3-year-old all the way through sixth grade. So here's where the Cub Cadet name came from. You ready for this? I saw a lawnmower. This is the truth. I saw a lawnmower, said Cub Cadet. I said, there's the name of the small kid right there. So I adopted it. We've got cadets, we've got Cub Cadets. What about Vacation Bible School? By the way, we saw a little bit of what I'd like to see year-round during the week of Bible school. When workers came out of the woodwork, it was amazing. I mean, it was wonderful. But God doesn't just want that to happen on 1 week of the year. He wants it to happen 52 weeks of the year, friends. What about junior camp here at Harvest Acres? Appreciate you letting us use that, by the way, Brother Steve. What about this junior camp week that we have for our kids? I'd like to open it up for other churches. I'd like to open it up for other people around this community, but we need help to do that. Children's ministry. A third ministry would be the music ministry. Now, this would be the adult choir. Now, there are qualifications, all this kind of stuff. But I would love, and I believe the Lord would love to see it. I'd love to see it where there's standing room only up here. Amen, Brother Gary? No doubt about it. Now, if you can't sing, don't. No, I'm kidding with you there, okay? Let me say this to you. It's not how you sing. What I mean by that is, it's not if you have a beautiful voice. If you feel God would lead you to come to the choir and make a joyful noise, then you help yourself. It's the spirit of the thing. It's the spirit of it. At the bare least, we'll just have you just open your mouth. Don't just act like you're singing. No, I'm playing with you there, okay? I'm playing with you. Pray, God, do you want me to be in the adult choir? What about the children's choir? I know Brother Bob has talked about a teen choir, and that may be something that he's still praying about and so on. A Sunday night's beginning at 5:45, we have a children's choir available for children 5 years through the sixth grade. It goes on during the same time that the adult choir is practicing, the children's choir is going on, and I appreciate those who work with those children. They're doing a fabulous job, and I appreciate that. What about the orchestra? Horns and guitars and things like that. Now you say, wait a minute, does this mean if I can play an instrument, that's all God wants me to do? No, if you play an instrument, God wants you to play an instrument while you're going out trying to win people to Christ. In other words, every ministry is to fall under the leadership, and the leadership has qualifications that they're going to, unless providentially hindered, they're going to be out trying to win people to Christ. They're going to be visiting. They're going to be doing this, which means if you want to do anything in the ministries, I look at you as you are a leader. If you sing in front of the church, you are leading. You are leading. And if you're not trying to win people to Christ, then you need to pray that God help you start to do that. Because this is a ministry on the wall to win people to Christ. This is the music ministry. Then you have the discipleship ministry. Now, let me say this to you. God is not in people that all they do is discipleship. That's it. That is not the plan of God. God wants you to win people to Christ, disciple them, and so on. What we have here is we have a special ministry that brings people out of their Sunday school to disciple one-on-one or couples with couples during Sunday school. But let me say this. If people are discipling like that, they need to be soul-winning disciplers. What I mean by that is that if you look at this, all I do is discipleship. You've missed the point of the New Testament. The point of the New Testament is to fulfill the Great Commission. That is, go, teach. That means win them, baptize them, and teach them all things. We want to be a church that's well-rounded. We want to be a balanced church that not only goes, but we win. We not only win, but we're baptized. We're not only baptizing, but we're teaching them all things, whatever God's told us to do. That's discipleship. We have a children's discipleship program that runs through the children's churches. The teens and adults are on the same program, but we constantly needing people to disciple other people. What a great ministry. What a great ministry. There are people here tonight who have gone through this discipleship ministry, and they're in church, faithful here tonight, wanting to do something for God, and that floats my boat, friends. It really does. It's exciting to see new converts who get it. They get it. And they're beginning to be faithful to church. They're coming. They're wanting to do something for God. That's exciting. Discipleship ministry. Another ministry would be the mission ministry. Now, this is mission trips. We're trying to make it available to you that every year, God willing now, God helping us to do this. I don't want to put us in a box, but God willing, every year we try to have a teen mission trip and an adult mission trip. This year, the teens went to England. The adults are going to Brazil. I try, if I can, to go on these trips with the teenagers and with the adults. I went to England. I'm going to Brazil. These are things, this is not the only thing you would do. Oh, what do you do at that church? I take a mission trip once a year. No. But this is on top of other things. This is to help keep your burden fresh. Let me say this to you. It is one thing to give in the offering. And let me say this. That's the only thing God wants some of you to do. No doubt. This is not a pressure thing. If you don't go to the mission field, you're out of the will of God. Hogwash, friends. No. But these are available for you to pray about. And I will say this, if God would lead you to go out of the country or even in country trying to help us plant churches, going back, you know, and so that's a mission trip. Whether it be in country or out of country, especially out of country, if God would lead you to do that and you go with an open heart, you'll never be the same. You'll never be the same. It is something when you go to a place like India and folks don't have forks and knives. They sit down on the ground. They take their rice and beans. They roll it up in a ball and eat it. Yeah, listen, friends, it's something when you go to a place when for a dollar, which it was in India, you can buy enough rice and beans and they flock in because they want something to eat. It'll do something to your heart. It'll do something to you. By the way, if you ever find yourself discontent, you know what my advice to you would be? Go to the mission field. Because when you see how other people are, I'm talking about God's people, friends. Not just people who are trying to win to Christ, but God's own people. When you see how they're living with nothing, you come back and say, shame on me. Shame on me. And by the way, another thing it'll do for you, and I've already said this before, but it'll give you a renewed love for this country that you live in. I know we've got problems. I understand that. God's still on His throne. God can still do what's right in the United States of America. But I'm going to tell you something here. I am glad. I am proud. I am happy that I'm an American. And I'm glad I'm in this country, friends. And the way I say it, I'm not trying to be unkind, but if somebody burns the American flag, get them on a plane, send them somewhere else, and see if they like that country better. Amen. I'm telling you, we ought to love the United States of America, and we ought to get on our faces and beg God to save this country because we need a revival in the United States. How'd you get me off on that? Talking about mission trips. I'm saying let's go after people. Then there is the Sunday school. Now in the Sunday school, we have departments. We have the preschool department. That is nursery through five-year-old. We have the primary department, that's first and second grade. We have the junior department, that's third through sixth grade. We have the teen department, that is teenagers. And then the adults right now are going to classes that they choose for themselves. But within the departments, you have a superintendent. You have a teacher. You have a secretary. With the adults, you have a teacher. You have a secretary. You have group captains, you have greeters, you can have an activity leader, you can have a prayer leader, you can have a mission leader, you can have an outreach leader, you can have an absentee leader, you can have this leader, that leader, that leader, that leader, and this leader. You say, what are you doing? I'm building a leadership team. That's what I'm doing. Because when you get people to see themselves as leaders and they see themselves as being useful, people don't like to be used, but they like to be useful. That's a statement from Tom Farrell. And it's been implanted in my heart and mind. People don't like to be used, but they want to be useful. And I'm telling you, God can use you here if He's not already doing so. If you're not doing anything in this church, let me encourage you to find a place in Sunday school and get busy for Jesus Christ. We'll give you more details on this, God willing, in the near future. That is the ministry God is working overtime on me for. So God willing, I'll put that on a pause, come back to it later. Bus ministry. Every bus is to have a bus captain, an assistant captain, a secretary, a driver, and a helper. Now, if you're a bus captain, say, what? Never knew that. We don't have that on our bus route. That's what I'm saying. That's the way it's supposed to run? That's never, my bus has never had that. Okay, then that means somebody can be used there. Amen. And let me say this to you. We have, what, 8, 9 buses running? I know it's at least 8. Is it 8 or 9? Somebody help me out. 9? 9 bus routes. You know what I'd like to see running? 19, 20, 25. You say the air is not big enough. Who cares? We'll run them anyway. If we have enough workers, we can put that many more buses on the road and bring that many more people to the house of God and reach that many more people for the glory of God. It never stops, friends. The bus ministry. There's a place. By the way, that's not only children and teens. That's also an adult ministry. That's for everything. Visitation ministry. Door-to-door. Telephone. New move-ins. We purchase a new move-in list every month. And every month, we send a letter to these new move-ins. Now, if you move across town, you're going to get one of those letters more than likely. It's not just people moving into our area. It's people who are refinancing, if you will, or if you move across the street, your name's going to show up on that, and you're going to get a letter from me inviting you to this church, okay? If that happens, I told you so, all right? Don't think. I've been going there for years. He don't even know who I am. Come on, friends. Come on. This is just coming from the list that we send out. But may I say, don't get me tickled now. May I say this to you? These new move-ins not only need a letter with a gospel tract, which they get, they need a personal visit. It'd be great to say, we'd like to welcome you to our area. Not sure if you've moved in or just refinanced or just moved across the street, but our pastor, if he hasn't already, was supposed to send you a letter. We'd like to come by, give you a gift, or whatever the case may be, invite you to come to our church. Have you found a church home yet? What a ministry for somebody to get involved in. What a ministry. That ministry right now, basically doing nothing. Nothing. I have no workers. Excuse me. The Lord has no workers. That's a bigger motive. Amen, friend. Come on now. Absentees. I've already said this. A great way to do this is through the Sunday school. These absentees need to be contacted. If they're absent, I'm not talking about maybe the first week. But if for 2 weeks you don't see them, they need to be visited, they need to be called. You say that's the teacher's responsibility. Shouldn't have to be. Shouldn't have to be. Delegate. Delegate, delegate, delegate. There's somebody, adults, sitting in your Sunday school class who will never go door-to-door, I'm talking about door-to-door visitation, but they will take the absentees and call them for you. Put them to work. Let them do it. Delegate it. Because if they accept it, they're saying, I want to be a leader. And if they want to be a leader, there's qualifications. And those qualifications are bang, 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 bang. And we're building a leadership team. Prospects, visitors, a great way to do the visitation ministry is through the Sunday school. Service ministry, greeters, welcome center, ushers, security team. We're working on a security team. Nursery workers, really all these precious people, but especially the nursery workers, I salute you. God bless you. Hallelujah. My baby girl's back there now, and she is into absolutely everything. Everything. And let me say this to the nursery workers. You are helping people come to Jesus when you take care of babies. Could you imagine if we took all the babies in the nursery on Sunday morning and gave them to their mothers and let their mothers sit in this congregation? You know what the devil tries to whisper to nursery workers? And none of them's come and told me this, but I can guarantee it's happened. What good am I doing? I mean, all I got to do is just go change dirty diapers. Good night alive. Can I say this to you? Look beyond it. You know what you're doing? You're allowing that mom and daddy to come in here unobstructed, uninterrupted, and they can sit here without having to worry about their baby, and they can hear the word of God, and when they get reached, you had a hand in that if you are caring for kids back in the nursery. Amen, friends. The nursery's important. Parking attendant. We've got that going on. The bookstore. You say, what's that? It's a work in progress. We're going to need some people to help with that. You say, what are you trying to do? I'm trying to tell you, it's not all been done yet. And we've got a place for you. The Target Ministry. Nursing homes. By the way, what I announced Wednesday night. Nursing homes. who has approached us, will you come in? I need somebody to go in. God wants somebody to go. I'm talking about a man now, maybe a man and woman, to go in there. If you're a man and you feel like you'd like to preach, you feel like you'd like to do something like that, come and see me. Please come see me. You say, what are you going to do? You going to make me get my own sermon? No, I'll give you my sermons. Go in there and preach them. You probably preach them better anyway. I'm going to tell you something. God's in that. God's in that. He wants us in every nursing home in this area. Every one of them. Will you help? Shut-ins, prison ministry, deaf ministry, international ministry, outdoors ministry, school Bible clubs. Hey, there may be somebody here today. Somebody here today. You don't have to be at work till 10 o'clock, 9 o'clock, or maybe you're retired, and you say, what can I do? Why don't you help us get into more public schools around the area? Why don't you help us start a public school in that school that we don't have one in? Try to win people to Christ. What about the John Sevier Chapel or the cancer ministry? What a mighty ministry in this church. The cancer ministry, senior saints ministry, the widows ministry, the community Bible studies. I have a desire for people to take what they learn on Sunday, take notes, or ask me for my sermon outline, or ask your Sunday school teacher for his or her Sunday outline. Take it home. Have a community Bible study at your home. What am I saying to you? I'm simply trying to say this to you. I know this is unique tonight. I know this is just me talking to you as your pastor, but it's good for you, the church, to hear your pastor like this every now and then. And I'm telling you, there's something for you to do on that wall out in the lobby. There's something for you to do. And if you're not doing anything, why don't you go by the wall tonight, take those sheets home, pray over them, ask God to lay on your heart what He wants you to do. If you are doing something, God bless you, stay with it. And let me say this to you. It is not God's will for you to overload yourself. If you're in the bus ministry, you cannot be a Sunday school teacher. It's too much. If you're a Sunday school teacher, you cannot be a bus captain. It's too much. If you are in that ministry and this ministry and you, well, nobody else will do it, I'll do it. Listen, friends, I've got to look out for you too. God is not in you driving yourself down into the dirt. Here's what I'm saying. If you will obey God, there's something for you to do in this ministry to fulfill the Great Commission. That's all I'm saying tonight. Will you at least pray about it? Ask God to show you what it is. I'm excited about it, really. We ask God to show us, okay? Unique tonight, I know. This is not an expository message like you heard this morning, all right? But the Lord is in something like this. Let's bow for a word of prayer. Father, we love you tonight. Pray that you'll help us now to understand that you have given us a work to do. You have not told us just to come and that's it. You have told us to come and get busy. And I pray that you'll help us to see our part in this, to understand this. Your heads are bowed, your eyes are closed. I know that I did not preach on salvation tonight, but the Lord works in mysterious ways. We're talking tonight about getting busy for God, about doing something for the Lord, about getting involved in ministry. And as they begin to play through softly, maybe God is taking all of that and saying, I'm the one that needs to be ministered to. I'm the one that needs to be reached. Is there somebody here tonight, you've come to church but you've never come to Christ? Somebody here tonight that you've not trusted the Lord as your Savior? Or maybe you just have a desire to learn more about Him. Is there one like that? You come. We'll take a Bible and share with you the gospel. Or maybe tonight God is speaking to you because the Lord is whispering in your heart and saying, you know, the preacher's talking to you tonight, isn't he? There's something for you to do here. And all He's wanting you to do tonight is simply pray and ask Him to lead you to the right ministry. If you don't do it, there's a part of the wall that somebody else is going to have to make up, and that where, therefore, instead of it being 52 days, it might take 53 or 55, not as long as it would have if everybody did a part. Hope you see what I'm trying to say. Maybe the Lord's dealing with you, saying, I want to get involved. Have you say, Jody, I desire to get involved. I just honestly do not know what to do. There's nothing wrong with that. As a matter of fact, that's where it all begins. Have you ever like that tonight? You say, I want to do something. I just don't know what it is. Would you be honest? Would you raise your hand? Be honest about that. You say, I want to do something. I just don't know what it is. Okay? That's several hands. If you raised your hand, I want you to listen to me closely. God has you right where you need to be. The first thing you need to do is surrender to Him. Lord, whatever it is, my answer's yes. Whatever it is. Take these sheets, take them home, pray over them. And when you feel comfortable that, yes, it's that ministry that we have an interest in, you come see me. We'll take you from there. We'll guide you. We'll lead you. And we'll see how the Lord leads. Maybe you want to come and pray and ask God to show you. Ask Him to show you. This is a great prayer to pray. Let's all stand together, shall we please? Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. Father, take this now. Use it at this church. May Thy will be done. Your heads are bowed, your eyes are closed. If you want to come and talk to us about salvation, if you want to come and say, God, we're here, would You show us? As Brother Gary sings, would you leave your place and come? Would you do that? Come now, please.
Oh, to Jesus I surrender.
This way, we're getting ready to pray and be dismissed. Let me encourage you, if you have not received those sheets, you don't have to take all of them. You might have a specific ministry right now. You're thinking, I'd like to learn more about that ministry. Take that sheet. Take it home. Make it a prayer sheet. Is this what you have, Lord? And pray about it sincerely. And let's ask God to help us with this. Okay? I'm going to ask Brother Micah Johnson, if you wouldn't mind, to dismiss us in prayer.
If you are going on the Brazil mission trip, I have a Portuguese CD I'd like you to pick up tonight. Just come right up here in front, please.